Oh, thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Glory to God. John chapter 10. Oh, hallelujah. John chapter 10. Hallelujah. We got the miracle sisters here. Praise God. Hallelujah. There you girls are. All right. Warriors for Christ, front runners of his return. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And John chapter 10. In verse 7, would you read it with me? Then Jesus said to them again, "Most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Glory to God. Jesus came that we might have life more abundantly. The word might means you have a choice. That means that you must be in divine position to have a life abundant. You must be upright and walking right with God to have life abundant. Does everybody understand it? But the thief came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now we'll turn to Hosea 4:6. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord, for coming to bring us life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Tonight's teaching is called Anointed Bones. We talked about this on a Saturday in one of our services. And I was led to redo it so we can put it on tape. But there were some different avenues that the Lord wanted to bring me in. So praise be to God. We're going there. Amen.
Amen.
We're going there. Can everybody hear me in the back? Praise God. Hosea chapter 4. The famous scripture. You know what? The scripture is going to mean a tremendous amount to you tonight. We're not going to dissect it. We're just going to open it up. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Would you all read it with me? My people are destroyed. Now wait a minute. We just read that the thief came to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now the Lord says, my people are what? Who's he acknowledging? The devil, the powers of darkness. Because who's destroying them? Do you understand that? Is everybody with me? We just read that the devil comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And the Lord says, my people are what?
Destroyed.
Do you understand that? What's he referencing to? Powers of darkness, doesn't he? Amen? My people are destroyed. For what?
Lack
of knowledge. And the word knowledge is a representation of truth, understanding, revelation. Everybody got it? Lack of knowledge. You know, you can have all the knowledge you want, but if you don't understand it, it's not truth. So you can read the Bible inside out, know every page number, and still go to hell.
Amen.
Hello?
Amen.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Amen.
You can play all the religion you want, but Daddy knows what's going on behind closed doors. That's why he said, many will come to me, say, Lord, Lord, hey, man, I cast out devils, I read your Bible, I even taught. Glory to God. The Lord said, get out of here. I don't know. You practice lawlessness. You have associations with the powers of darkness. and you don't reverence me. The only thing you want to do is bring a name to yourself by using me. Hello? And they will not enter the kingdom of God. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And because you have rejected knowledge or truth or revelation or counsel, I also reject you from being priests for me. A priest is someone who's close to the Lord. In fact, you and I are called to be priests, and we'll talk a little bit more about this. That's the first office that we're to fulfill, is priesthood. He said, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. That is a powerful statement right there. You know what he's telling us? What you do goes down your family line. What your forefathers have done comes down your family line. Do you understand that? So that means that there's an inheritance, isn't there? What you are is what you've inherited. Good and bad. Do you understand that? What you are right now is what you've inherited. Good and bad. Has everybody got it?
Amen.
Destroy lack of truth, reject inheritance. Some of us need to know where we come from so we can get rid of some of the garbage.
Amen.
Amen. Forget the law. God will forget your children, won't he? All things that come to you are inherited, good and evil. Now listen, physical, in the physical natural realm and in the spiritual realm, the way you are right now is because of what you've inherited. Do you ever go to the doctor and they say, hey, is there any diabetes or heart disease or whatever in your family line? Why? Because he's going to know, he knows you're going to inherit it. Amen? And as a matter of fact, things are fed by the way people eat, aren't they? So they upkeep it, don't they?
Amen.
You know? Amen? Certain ways that we were brought up, we thought certain good foods were good for us. I always, you know, my mother tried to make me eat liver, I wouldn't eat it, and I thank God because it's probably the worst thing that you could eat. Well, there's a lot of iron in it. No, it's somebody else's filter. Hello? Don't eat somebody else's filter. Don't eat a cow's filter. It's full of garbage. It's toxic. It's probably the worst thing that you could eat. Hallelujah. But it's got a lot of iron. Yeah, right. So it's got everything else too. So do you understand it? In the scripture, the word says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Right? Lack of revelation. Lack of understanding. In other words, if you don't know what your family line is, your lineage is, it makes it difficult for you to know who you are. And one of the things the devil doesn't want you to know is who you are. You know, when we began to find out that our families were dying of heart disease and diabetes and all these other things, you shouldn't sit down and eat the same food they do. It's like, man, what is this? I don't want to end up like you. I know I had to change my diet. You know, I come from a maniac family of Italians, and pasta was breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You know, bourgeois and all this flesh and pig's feet, and you name it, they ate it. I couldn't eat it. I ate it so much, and then after a period of time, it was like, man, now I don't even like pasta. I don't eat it. And then I come to find out how bad it is for you, because it's nothing but bleached food, and it's killer. Hello. Oh, everybody just ate pasta. Remember, you can't cast out calories either, right? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge or understanding. In other words, and the Lord says, listen, because you've forgotten. In other words, they knew it once, and they forgot it. They were told, they rejected it. He said, because you've done that, I'm going to not only reject you, but I'm going to reject your children. So we know that there is a family line, a lineage that happens. In fact, most of us in this room, because our families weren't right with God, we were rejected. And because we weren't right with God, our children have been a mess. Hello? But I'll tell you what, once you get in divine order, things begin to happen. you find your children start coming into the kingdom of God. And you got nothing to do with it. You just got to stay in that relationship. Amen? God begins to hear your prayers. So what you are, your children will be. Amen? Because you are a product of what you've inherited, good and bad. Has everybody got it? Praise God. Go to Genesis 4. Oh, hallelujah. Do I have an echo? Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Genesis chapter 4. In verses 1 through 8, now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. But he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry and his countenance fell. Now, both Cain and Abel inherited what mom and dad were like, didn't they? Amen? Is everybody with me? Cain and Abel inherited what mom and dad were like. Now listen, one of the things that happened is God already showed them how to accept an offering. Because when Adam and Eve were getting ready to leave the garden, the Lord killed an animal, didn't he? That was the first offering and sacrifice. So Adam and Eve taught their children what was the right thing to do. One chose to do the right thing, the other one chose not to do the right thing. Amen? But you see that both of them were still the offsprings, weren't they? They both inherited the things from mom and dad, didn't they? Now, there was an inheritance for them also. Abel received an inheritance from learning from them, didn't he? Physical and spiritual. So, Abel was able to do the right thing, wasn't he? Amen? Abel was able to do the right thing. Cain was going to do the wrong thing, the wrong offering. So we see that on the download of this, of the offshoots of the offspring here, one was one way and the other one was the other way. Amen? Cain tried to create his own. And Adam and Eve's fall resulted in a lost inheritance of dominion and power, rule and eternity. I want to talk about that in a second here. Let's go on, all right? Read this with me. In verse 5, or verse 6. What did the Lord say to Cain? The Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? What was he saying? Change your ways. Change your ways. Right? That's all he had to do, didn't he? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door. Now what is sin? The presence of evil. Remember, sin means the presence of evil. Transgression is the act in progress. Amen? And its desire is for you. What's desire? The presence of evil's desire is for you, isn't it? But you should what? Rule over it. You should rule over it. But you got to understand something. The problem was that Adam and Eve lost dominion, didn't they? Is everybody with me? They lost dominion because of their what? Disobedience. And it shot down to their kids, didn't it? Now remember, Adam and Eve walked face to face with God, didn't they? The children didn't because they were what? Rejected. Is everybody with me? My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Hello? Okay. Let's go to verse 8. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what? And killed him. So if you look at this, it's very powerful because these were two brothers, and they were the offsprings of Adam and Eve, weren't they? One was upright who got killed, and the other one was left field. There was the righteous and the unrighteous. Amen? Okay. I want to back up a little bit just so that you can see this. Go to Genesis chapter 3. Read verse 17 with me. Then to Adam the Lord said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for your sake, and toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Also for Adam and his wife the Lord made a what? Tunic. Made of skin, tunics of skin, and what? Clothed them. So you remember that they tried to cover themselves with fig leaves, and the Lord had to what? He had to kill an animal before they left. What was he was redoing? He was reinstating their inheritance. Okay? What they lost was, remember, Adam and Eve were created to be eternal beings, weren't they? They were eternal. Right? They had everything. They didn't have to work for anything. They had an inheritance, weren't they? The Lord was their inheritance. Everything was theirs. God gave them everything. Adam was the ruler of the universe. Hello? Amen? He ruled the earth. Right? So no matter what, the only thing that happened was that Satan tricked him out of his office, didn't he? So when Adam got tricked out of his office, he fell. He lost his inheritance. In other words, you must walk in divine order to receive your inheritance. Do you understand that? Okay. So what God did is he reinstated his inheritance. Now, what he reinstated was to be fruitful and multiply, but they lost eternal life, didn't they? They lost power and dominion, didn't they? And Adam lost his office of rule, didn't he? Do you understand that? And what happened? That went down to the children. Now, understand this. The only way that he could reiterate or reinstate certain parts of his inheritance was for service. Why? Because the Lord sent them out to do what? Now to work. Does everybody understand that? He said, okay, I'm going to reinstate. You will be fruitful and multiply, but you're going to have to upkeep that. Here it is. You will work now. Now remember, in the garden, they weren't working, they were just keeping things up, weren't they? I mean, they were fellowshipping, he was talking to the animals, he was probably cruising on the ocean with Moby Dick and having a good old time. I mean, you know, he was talking to Flipper, you know. I mean, they had everything, didn't they? They had everything. They could have gone anywhere, right? So what happened was is when Adam and Eve fell, they lost their inheritance, didn't they? Does everybody understand that? Do you understand that it's important to be in divine order to maintain your inheritance? It's very important. And as you get in divine order, then it flows down to your offsprings and your children and so forth. But like I said, what had to maintain it now is service was involved. Now there was service. They didn't have to labor. Now they do. Welcome to the world of labor. Go to Genesis 25. Now, I want you to also understand something very important. When you resist or reject your inheritance, a curse comes. Wasn't? Now remember this. Adam and Eve were in the garden, right? They had an inheritance, didn't they? Eternal life and everything else. What did they do? They rejected it. Why? Disobedience is a representation of rejecting God, isn't it? When they rejected it, what happened? The curse came. Does everybody understand that? A curse came. Oh, hallelujah. That's why the Lord said what? Curse is the ground for your sake. Genesis 25. Hallelujah. Is everybody all right?
Amen.
Did I lose anybody?
Nope.
Throw a lifeline. Genesis 25 and verse 29. Read it with me. Now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. Therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your what? Birthright as of this day. In other words, sell me your inheritance. Give me it. Jacob wasn't dumb. He saw Esau was in the flesh. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die. My flesh is killing me. So what is his birthright to me? Oh, man, what did he do? He rejected his inheritance, didn't he?
Amen.
Amen. And then Jacob said, swear to me of this day. So he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils. Then he ate and drank, arose, and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. What did he do? He rejected him. Look what happened to Esau's life. Whew. Praise God. So Esau sold his birthright, didn't he? For what? Lust of the flesh. He lost it for lust of the flesh. Go to Hebrews 8, or Hebrews 11, I'm sorry. Hebrews 11. Is everybody beginning to see what's going on? Praise God. Hebrews chapter 11. Thank you, Father. You're thinking, how does this have to do anything with anointed bones? You'll see. You'll see. Glory to God. Hebrews 11 and verse 8 and 9, would you read it with me? Come on, everybody read it with me. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. He obeyed, right? Remember, obedience fulfills your inheritance, doesn't it? And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. So they inherited, weren't they? They were heirs of it. It was going down to their sons, wasn't it? Amen? Is everybody with me? Why? Because by faith, how did he get it? Obedience. Obedience. So it takes obedience, doesn't it? Go to Revelation chapter 1. Oh, it's good to hear the pages turning on a Tuesday night. Revelation, the conclusion. The conclusion. Revelation chapter 1. And verses 5 and 6. Would you read it with me, please? And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us what? Kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So you and I have been made kings and priests. But first you must fulfill your priesthood before you can become a king. Now, that's our inheritance, isn't it? That's an inheritance from the Lord, that you and I would fulfill this position as priests and kings. But there are stipulations, isn't there? Obedience. Obedience. Think about that. Obedience. That's a stipulation of inheritance. You know, when some kids are, they get an inheritance, a family hands down an inheritance, and there's stipulation. Some of them, they have to go to college, right? Some of them, they have to be good, or there's a stipulation of a certain age, but there's a stipulation of an inheritance. And God has a stipulation of his inheritance. It's called obedience. Glory to God. And remember, the Lord said, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge, and because you rejected my knowledge, I will reject you from being what? Priest for me. In other words, he's going to reject your inheritance. Does everybody understand that? Oh, hallelujah. How many of y'all want your inheritance? Praise God. I don't like that. Go to Numbers 18. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Numbers 18. Would you read verse 1 with me, and then we'll shoot around here. Numbers 18 and verse 1. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you and your sons and your father's house with you shall bear the iniquity related to the sanctuary. And you and your sons with you shall bear the iniquity associated with your priesthood. So we see that Aaron and his family was chosen to be priests, weren't they? Amen? Go to verse 6. Behold, I myself have taken your brethren, the Levites, from among the children of Israel. They are a gift to you, given by the Lord, to do the work of the tabernacle of meeting. So the tribe of Levites, the Levites, were going to work in the tabernacle, weren't they? They were going to upkeep. Aaron's family was going to be the priests. All right? Therefore, you and your sons with you shall attend to your priesthood for everything at the altar and behind the veil. And you shall serve. You shall what?
Serve.
Comes in service now. Why? Because of what happened with Adam and Eve. Hello? Okay. Service. I give your priesthood to you as a gift for service. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death. In other words, no one else is going to have that place. I've given it to you. And the Lord spoke to Aaron, here, I myself have also given you charge of my heave offerings. All the holy gifts of the children of Israel I have given them as a portion to you and your sons as an ordinance for what?
Forever.
Forever. Praise God. Okay. Let's go to verse 20. Read it with me. Then the Lord said to Aaron, you shall have no inheritance in their land. Now listen to this. He's talking about an inheritance from the land that they were in. Nor shall you have any portion among them. I am your portion and your inheritance among the children of Israel. Praise God, we'll have the Lord as my inheritance. Because if he's your inheritance, you got everything. Glory to God. Behold, I have given the children of Levi all the tithes in Israel as an inheritance in return for the work which they perform. The work of the tabernacle of meeting. Well, praise God, take the tithes, I'll take the Lord. Glory to God. Has everybody got that? So, you and I, our inheritance is of the Lord, right? But we get more also. There's more. But you have to be in what? Divine order and divine position. What brings your inheritance? Obedience. How is the obedience done? By what? Service. Everybody got it? Oh, good, good. Go to verse 28. Read it with me. Thus you shall also offer a heave offering to the Lord from all your tithes which you receive from the children of Israel, and you shall give the Lord's heave offering from it to Aaron the priest. How many of y'all are priests and priestesses? Glory to God. Go to Galatians 5. Remember I shared with you that there are what? Stipulations, isn't there? There are stipulations. It's amazing how many people come to the Lord and think they got everything and they can do anything they want. Yeah, Jesus is my Lord and Savior, that's it, I'm done. I never have to do another thing again. You know, I just go out and become a heathen and I expect to go home. Right. Galatians chapter 5. Oh, God is good all the time. It's very possible we might get this in one teaching, but it's not probable. Hallelujah. We'll see how far we can go. Galatians chapter 5. You know, it's important about this foundation of inheritance. Does everybody understand that? It's very important because the way you are now is what you've inherited. That's why Jesus said, I came to give you a sword. See, it's your responsibility. He says, I am the door, didn't he? He said, come on in. He said, come and learn from me, didn't he? Amen? Amen? Oh. So we do have a responsibility. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19, would you read it with me? Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, which means drugs and alcohol, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Anything in similar to this? Or associated with this. So if it's not on here, it doesn't mean that it's not, you know, you're not accountable for it, all right? Uncleanliness goes a long way. Is everybody all right? Should we go on? Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who what? Practice such things will what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. So listen. Hello. He's saying, listen, man, if you're going to practice this stuff, you're not going to get your inheritance. And what God wants is the kingdom of God to be manifested in me and you. In me and you. Amen? So there are stipulations. Go to 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Would you read with me verses 9 and 10? Is everybody there? Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Has everybody got that? Whoa. Not in divine order, not walking upright, no giddy. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians 1. You think God's on a move of rescuing right now? Amen. Big time. There's an urgency. Time's running out. Now, you know, time with God could be, for me and you, it could be 3 years. To God, it could be moments. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11. Would you all read this with me, please? In him also we have obtained an inheritance. There he's talking about. In him we have the inheritance. He who abides in me. Hello? In him we have an inheritance. Being what? Predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. So we've been predestined with an inheritance. It's like somebody handing you a check. You just have to endorse it. Right? But you got to remember, he can put stop payment on it, can't he? And then he don't get charged. That we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you what? Heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Because he's the first part of your inheritance, isn't he? Amen. Amen. Who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the what? Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceedingly greatness of his power towards us who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Now that is a powerful statement. Very powerful. So the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of our predestined inheritance, which is the anointing or the presence of God in our life.
Hallelujah.
Does everybody understand that? Now listen. The word anoint is a representation of rub. Now the anointing is an example of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk a little bit more about this, just so you get an understanding. That's why the title is Anointed Bones. Now, when you begin to operate in the inheritance that God has given you, the first thing he gives you is the Holy Spirit, because you can't handle your inheritance without the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go to 1 Samuel chapter 10. Now, if you've got a card at somebody's that you're inheriting, but you don't have a license because you lost it, it may take a little bit of time to get it. Amen? So you've got to be changed before you can handle it. Is everybody with me? And it's through the Holy Spirit that changes us. Has everybody got it? Now look at 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 1. What does it say? Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head, that was King Saul, and kissed him and said, is it not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance? What did he have to do? He was anointed. Now look at, this is what he said. Now Samuel said, okay, now listen, you're going to be you're commander over the Lord's inheritance, right? Which was Israel. He said, there's something I want you to do. Go to verse 5. He said, after that you shall come to the hill of God where the Philistine garrison is, and it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the high place with stringed instruments, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. Now, they're walking in the Spirit, aren't they? Remember I shared with you the anointing is a representation of the Holy Spirit, isn't it? Then the Spirit of the Lord will what? Come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be what? Turned into another man. Wow. So you must have fellowship in the Spirit so that you can handle the inheritance of God. Is everybody with me? Because only the Holy Spirit is the guarantee. He's the down payment of your inheritance. He's the keeper of your inheritance. He's the one that distributes the inheritance to you according to your obedience and service. Everybody with me?
Amen.
If Very good. Now there's three types of anointing. The first anointing that God grants me and you is his salvation anointing, where no man comes to the Father unless he's drawn. The Holy Spirit anoints you for salvation. This is a representation of the tabernacle, where you have the outer court, the holy place, and the holy of holies. Three chambers of the tabernacle. The first anointing is the salvation. The second anointing is the priest. And the third anointing is the kingly, which means you become a warrior. All right? That's where signs and wonders manifest. Is everybody with me? So the first anointing God gives you is salvation. The second one is priesthood. That's when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, is the priesthood. You can't become a priest unless you're baptized in the Holy Ghost. Does everybody understand that?
Amen.
Hello? Because that's when the Spirit, when you cry out, Abba Father, where there's sonship, isn't there? Relationship. It's difficult to do that in the outer courts. You can pretend it and practice it all you want, but it's really not there, is it? Until you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, then it's dead. High priest. Then you become his priest. That's where you start fulfilling your priesthood, because you become a worshiper, don't you? Hallelujah. Some people get baptized in the Holy Spirit by just worshiping by faith. Then all of a sudden things begin to happen, right? Because works without faith is dead. And faith without works is dead, isn't it? Oh, hallelujah. So there's three types of anointing. There's the salvation, priestly, and kingship, or kingly anointing, or warrior anointing. Go to Psalm 16. Oh, praise God. Psalm 16. Verses 5 and 6. Read it with me, please. And Brother David cried out and he said, O Lord, you are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. Hallelujah. Wow, David was enjoying his inheritance, wasn't he? Amen. Go to Romans 8. Now, when David blew it and he repented, his children still received an inheritance, didn't they? Of course, they also received some of the other stuff, too. They all fell into fornication. Right? They didn't know how to break that off of them. But we do. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12. You know, that's why we do deliverance prayers and repenting for the sins of our forefathers and so forth and breaking off some of this inheritance stuff. You found out that some of the habits, characteristics of your forefathers are in you. Amen? See, but now those things can be turned around because they may have walked in the flesh, but as you walk in the Spirit, it's used for God. All things work to the good to those who love the Lord and are calling for it to his purpose. Romans 8 and verse 12, would you read it with me? Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. So you must be led by the Spirit to be a son. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. That's a baptism of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then what? Heirs. Why? Because in the baptism of the Holy Spirit, brings you into heirs. Do you understand? He's the first, he's the guarantee of your inheritance. Then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified with him. No one said that you weren't going to suffer. Some of the suffering we're doing is constantly beating down the flesh. Some of the suffering that we're doing is having that warfare, casting down thoughts and imaginations, binding the powers of darkness. Some of that suffering is persecution because of who you are. Right? Because the devil doesn't want you to know who you are. Remember when Jesus was tempted, what did he first say? If you are the Son of God, do this. He was always trying to get Jesus to prove himself. You don't have to prove yourself. If you know who you are, you don't have to do anything. You just stand and you walk upright and you enjoy your inheritance of who you are. Hello? You don't have to do nothing. You just walk upright with the Lord. And God makes way. He meets you in every area and everything, doesn't he? He meets you right there. Oh, hallelujah. Joint heirs with Christ. We must understand spiritual lineage of our life. Where and who God places us under to serve and receive the fullness of our inheritance. That's also your portion. Do you understand that? Where God places you to serve, you receive an inheritance from. Go to John 14. So we receive a spiritual lineage, don't we? We receive something spiritually and physically. Hello? You begin to put on the character. That's why you and I are putting on the character of Christ. We're changing from glory to glory, aren't we? But as you serve him in fellowship with him, his character begins to rub off on you because the word anointing means to rub. You know, you begin to hang around with someone, you begin to act like each other. I don't know if that's good or bad. Huh? That's why the Bible says bad company corrupts good habits. So you've got to protect the anointing of God in your life, right? By upkeeping yourself. Ooh. Hallelujah. John 14 and verse 12. Would you read it with me? Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, what's the word believe mean?
Follows.
The works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these, he will do because I go to my Father. Now that's powerful. Jesus said that you and I would do greater works. He said we would do greater works. In other words, greater works, we're not above our master, are we? But we'd be able to reach more people than him. We'd be able to do greater works. We'd be able to do more things than him. I mean, look at what we can do now. We can reach the world, can't we? Glory to God. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, wait a minute. He just said, greater works will you do. But now he's telling you how to do the greater works with the helper. I will pray to the Father and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. The spirit of what?
Truth.
You can't do greater works without truth. Whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. How? By Spirit. Through the Holy Spirit. Is everybody with me? So, you and I should be doing greater works. Not above our master, but greater works. In other words, did you ever hear someone getting something of things they get grandfathered in? Like pieces of property or whatever? You know? Well, we get things grandfathered in. Amen? Praise God. That's part of our inheritance, isn't it? Hallelujah. Nothing that we did. But what we have to do is maintain it, don't we? By obedience. Oh, glory. Acts 19. Acts chapter 19. Verses 1 through 6. Is everybody there? And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came to Ephesus and finding some disciples. What's a disciple? A follower of Christ, right? And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? In other words, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? What'd they say? They said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. So they didn't know anything about their inheritance, did they? We just read that the Holy Spirit was a guarantee. Down payment of the inheritance. They didn't know, did they? Somebody had to tell them. See, what you don't know, you don't get. That's what the devil wants to do, doesn't he? I mean, look what he's trying to do right now. He's trying to prevent people from getting baptized in the Holy Ghost, isn't he? Look at all the division in the body of Christ. People are arguing over gifts, the Spirit, this, that, whatever. If everybody was walking with the Spirit of truth, there wouldn't be any denominations. We wouldn't call ourselves by something they took a name out of the Bible. We'd call ourselves Christians, brothers, sisters. Amen? That'd be it. You wouldn't exalt what organization you belong to. Because we're not an organization. We're an organism. Amen? We're a living organism, man. Glory to God. So they didn't know, did they? They didn't know. My people are destroyed for what? Lack of knowledge. So they didn't know about the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of places that still don't know about the Holy Ghost today. I don't want to go in there. And he said to them, indeed, what then will you baptize? They were probably flipped out themselves. So they said unto John's baptism. And Paul said, John indeed baptized with the baptism of what? Repentance. Saying to the people that they should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus, the anointed word. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They got baptized in the Holy Ghost, didn't they? But they didn't know about their inheritance, did they? Do you understand that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a part of the inheritance as a believer? Whoa. You know how many people reject that inheritance? And it brings a curse on them. A curse is a presence of a curse means you can't go no further. When you can't go no further, there's a presence of a curse. You can't go no further. You can't grow. You're stuck. There's a curse there. Oh, hallelujah. So what were they stuck in the beginning? They were only stuck in the anointing of salvation, weren't they? They didn't get the priestly anointing yet. They were stuck only on the baptism of John. The anointing of salvation. They couldn't go any further. Why? They didn't know, did they? They didn't know. That's what the devil wants. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Glory to God. Go to verse 11. Would you read it with me? Now God worked unusual miracles by the hand of Paul. Now God worked unusual miracles through Paul. Why? Greater works. Hello? Listen to this. So that even when handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now understand this. The anointing that was on Paul's life, because the anointing is transferable. Amen. The mantle is transferable. The anointing and the mantle are the same. They never die. They're transferred. Hello? Now, what happened here was because the Lord said, and you will do greater works,
Here's Paul. Now, you never heard about Jesus laying hands on an apron or napkin or and handing it out. Right? No, but Paul was doing it. Why? Because he was doing greater works, wasn't he? Now, I remember one time that there was a Brother Schambach was an evangelist, and this one woman came up to him and said, listen, wear this piece of candy for me. He thought she was nuts. And the Lord said to him, put the candy in your pocket. So he said, okay, Lord, he put it in his pocket. And he went to the service, and when the service was over, the woman came up, said, can I have my candy? He thought, what? Candy? She goes, yes, the one that's in your pocket. Oh, okay. So he pulled the candy out and gave it to her. Well, Schambach came back because he's an evangelist, and he came back in that area town again. The woman knew about it and came up, and she came up with another woman. So after the service, she said, hi, I don't know if you remember me, but I'm the one that gave you the piece of candy. He said, yeah, how could I forget? And she said, this is my sister. He said, that's nice. She said, she was in a mental institution. I couldn't get her anything. She was in a lockup ward, padded ward. The only thing that they would allow me to give her was candy once in a while. The anointing was transferred to the candy. She ate the candy, got totally delivered. The demons left her, and they let her out within 2 weeks. Hello? See, the thing is if you don't know who you are and your inheritance, that's what the devil wants. You know, we did a teaching the other week called Not by Sight. See, you can't walk by sight, you walk by faith. It's got nothing to do with this. It's got nothing to do with your mind, your kernel, how much knowledge you have up here. It has nothing to do with intellect. If you were going to walk by intellect, you'd never make it. Hello? You can't make it by your intellect. It's not how much you know. It's who you know and who you know who you are in Him. Has everybody got it?
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. In verse 13. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, we exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Now, they didn't know the Lord, did they? And they didn't have the inheritance, did they?
No.
Also, these were seven of the Sceva, sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, now you got to remember there was these guys there that they were trying to cast out these demons from, right? Okay. And they tried to do it in the name of Paul's God. And the evil spirits answered them and said, Jesus I know and Paul I know. But who are you?
Come on.
See, because the Holy Spirit manifests Jesus in your life.
Amen.
The powers of darkness do not see you or me. They see Jesus by the Holy Spirit. So you can do all the looking in the mirror you want. That it has no effect on the spirits of evil. Do you understand that? It's got nothing to do with you. It's got to do with Christ in you. Because the Holy Spirit is a guarantee of your inheritance. One of restoring your inheritance is power and dominion, isn't it? What was lost from Adam and Eve. The dominion and power was lost. The only thing that was given to them, restored again through service, was to multiply and be fruitful. But through the Holy Ghost, everything has been restored that's been lost in the garden. That's your inheritance. But if you don't know it and don't begin to operate it, the devil will keep telling you, if you are the child of the Most High, do this. He'll always challenge you. You know why? Because he's always wanted to know if you know who you are. Now, this is what happened in verse 16. Then the man whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. So that demon kicked their butt. They were trying to be somebody that they weren't.
Amen.
Do you understand that? They were trying to be somebody they weren't. And the demons know it. They're going to always challenge you to see if you know who you are. If you don't know who you are, they're going to get away with everything they can in your life. But you must understand, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Are you getting knowledge tonight? Are you going to understand who you are? Your inheritance and who you are. Remember, everything that was taken from the garden is being restored to you by the Spirit of the living God now. You now have dominion over all things. Amen? The promise of the Holy Spirit. Now you are to be able to be fruitful and multiply. Now you get in divine order with service and obedience. God is going to rescue your offsprings. Remember one of the first things that Paul told the jailer? He says, you and your family, you and your household will be saved. Some of us have big households. Oh, praise God. Now I want to show you something. Paul was walking in his kingly anointing. That's where the greater works are. The kingly anointing. The warrior. Amen? Now what's the three anointings? Priest, salvation, priestly, and warrior or kingly. See? Now Paul was walking in his third anointing. That's why he was doing greater works. Do you understand that? Oh, hallelujah. Now that's why the Bible says that there are the called, the chosen, and the faithful. The faithful is where the kingly anointing, the warrior anointing is. God does just not give you the kingly anointing right off the bat. Many people think they get it off the bat. At least they attempt to. Then they get their butt kicked and then they have to lower themselves and come in humility and repent for their pridefulness. Think they know it all when nobody knows anything. Hello? The more we know, the stupider we are. You realize how big God is. But what He's given us, we're to operate in. Amen? Oh, praise God. Turn to Revelation 22. Revelation 22. Revelation 22 is just for me and you. Is everybody there?
Amen.
In verse 16. Read it with me. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the what? Root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. So you see here, even Jesus was confessing that he was down a family lineage. He said he was the offspring of David, wasn't he? That's his kingship, isn't he? Remember, the Lord didn't want a king. And the people wanted a king. Samuel tried to convince everybody, man, you don't need no king. And the Lord told him, he said, that's all he's going to do is tax you and take this from you and take your cattle and take that. You don't. Jesus wanted to be the king for them. But they said, no, we want something we can see and touch. Obviously, they didn't like the fire. They didn't like the glory cloud. They were afraid. Remember, they cried out, we want to see God. When God showed up, they said, man, you go talk to him. Moses, go ahead. They were behind Moses, man. Go ahead. They didn't want to have fellowship with God then. They said, again, we don't want Simon. We want a human king. And the Lord said, all right, I'll give you a human king. And that's when he called Saul, right? He said, Saul, come here. You need the anointing to handle my inheritance. Of course, he was still disobedient after a period. He behaved for a while, though. But then he was disobedient and the Spirit left him. And then he went on to David, right? And then King David did greater works than Saul, didn't he? Because see, you should always do greater works than your forefathers through your lineage, your family lineage. Remember, Jesus has said, I am the root and the offspring of David. Jesus did greater works, didn't he? Oh, hallelujah. But Isaiah 11. Remember, we have a spiritual and physical lineage, don't we? You know, when people used to ask me what kind of nationality I am, I tell them, I'm Christ. I no longer have a nationality. I'm Christ. My blood runs from the throne room of God. I'm not a part of this world anymore. My outwardness is still part of it, but I'm not, because I'm a spirit. Hallelujah. Oh, to God be the glory. Isaiah chapter 11. Is everybody all right?
Hallelujah.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse something. Start at verse 1. Isaiah chapter 11 and verse 1. Would you read it with me? There shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. A branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom, understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight is in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge by what sight of his eyes, nor decide by the hearing of his ears. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide the equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his loins, and faithfulness the belt of his waist. So we see here that it says in verse 1 that there shall come forth a rod from the stem of Jesse. Who are they talking about? Amen. And a branch shall grow out of his what? Roots. Praise God. Spiritual lineage. Do you understand that? Spiritual lineage. You know, the Lord says, I am the vine and you are the branches. You are the branch. Why? Because fruit's supposed to be manifested through me and you. He says he prunes us so that we would bear more fruit. So sometimes when you feel the squeezing and you're going through stuff and you come to a wall and you're like, man, I just don't know what to do. First thing I would suggest is repent. You know, get that right out of the way. And ask the Holy Spirit what it is he's trying to show you. You know, when you take coal and you crush it, it turns into a diamond. See, God wants to crush us sometimes so that he can shine through us and bring glory to his name. So no matter what you're going through right now, it's a crushing, isn't it? But you must stand on the truth. You must stand in faith and let the Spirit bring you through. Because you tried to do it yourself and you failed. You can't fix nothing, neither can I. The only thing that we can do is be obedient and stay in divine position so God can flow through us and do what needs to be done. And he's going to ask you to give up some things sometimes. Hello? He's going to ask you to do a couple things sometimes, isn't he? Hallelujah. Why? Because he's crushing. He wants to know whether things of the world are your God or he is. He wants you to get into a place where you can trust him 100% that no matter what's happening or going on in your life,
amen,
he's got control. He's trying to convince me and you that he's got control. He's got the last say. In fact, he's the one that created the devil. Do you understand that? Do you know you have dominion over him? Oh, to God be the glory. Ooh. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Thank you, Jesus. Is everybody okay? Everybody's gotten it. You're getting it. You're getting it. Praise God. I'm going to share a couple more scriptures and then we're going to close and we're going to continue next Tuesday. In John chapter 1 and verse 14. Would you read it with me? Oh, wait a minute. I want to start at verse 12. You brought your Holy Ghost erasers?
But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. Who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of what? Oh, Lord, that means your spirit. Some of us need to put these in for a dry cleaning, you know? And verse 14. And the Word became what? Flesh. And dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now the Word became flesh, didn't it? So everybody got it. So everybody understands that the Word became... That's why the name of Jesus became flesh, right? Everything became flesh, right? In other words, it became tangible. It was manifested in the natural realm. The Word became flesh. God came into the natural realm. Everybody's with me, right? Good. I'll go to Mark chapter 1. Oh, I thank you, Father. Mark chapter 1 and verse 8. John the Baptist is speaking here. And he says, I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy... Who's going to baptize with the Holy? Amen. It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water... He saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. That was the mantle. That was the anointing. You know what that was? His inheritance. From who? The Father. Watch. Then the voice came from heaven, You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Wow. So the Word became flesh and then it needed to get anointed. Does everybody got it?
Amen.
Man, that flesh needs to get anointed.
Yeah,
that, see, Jesus received his inheritance from his Father, didn't he?
Amen.
Does everybody understand that? Once he received his inheritance, the mantle came down upon him. The first thing he did was what? Look at this. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. Oh, what was he going to try and tell him? Who he was. Do you understand that? Who he was. You might think, well, wait a minute, he was God. You got to understand something. He was in a human form for 33 years, or whatever it was, 30 years, right? His ministry was 33 years, 3.5 years, so he was about 30 years old, right? So you got to understand, he was in human form, wasn't he?
Amen.
He didn't do any miracles, did he? He went into synagogues, he learned just like everybody else. He fell down, scraped his knees, and cried like every other kid. In fact, he worked, didn't he? He was a carpenter. Right? He was doing the things of the world, wasn't he? But he was not part of the world. He wasn't in fornication or sin, was he? He was walking upright. But he was still doing the things of the world. Because he was the Word that became flesh. But once God sent his inheritance... upon his Son, he was no longer of the world anymore. Even Mama knew that. Remember when they were into the wedding? And what did the Lord, when Sister Mary went up to Jesus and said, you know, we're a little short on booze. We're a little short on wine. And the Lord says, what does that got to do with me, woman? He didn't say, hey, Mom. See, when the mantle came down, you're separated. You're separated. Does everybody understand that? You know, during services, when the anointing comes upon me, my wife is not my wife. She's my sister. When the anointing leaves, she's back to my wife. Does everybody understand that? I'm not a part of anything or anyone. I'm his. That's it.
I'm His. Hello? And see, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you and that anointing and your inheritance comes. See, now, the kingly anointing just doesn't come to make you tickle. The kingly anointing comes for service.
Amen.
Amen? It's for service. Is everybody with me? So the mantle of God came down upon Jesus. And what did He say? My son. Then He called Him son, didn't He? Hello? I mean, you didn't know that, of course, this was the first time the Trinity of God was manifested in the natural realm, wasn't it? There was Jesus, there was the Holy Spirit, and there was the Father. Many people got saved that day. Many people got saved that day. But praise God. All right? So you understand your inheritance, right? You see now that Jesus had to wait for His inheritance, didn't He?
Amen?
Amen. Things come down the lineage line, your family line. And there are things that are good and bad that you must sever from. That's our responsibility. That's why He gave us the anointing and the power. But the Holy Spirit is our guarantee of our inheritance. He's the distributor of the inheritance. Is everybody with me? All right? And we're going to continue this on. But we're going to close right here. Father, we thank You for Your Word.
Thank You, Father.
We thank You for Your Word. Oh, Lord Jesus, we thank You. Now, Holy Spirit, we just ask that You'll send Your anointing. Come, Holy Spirit. Jesus, send the mantle down and dress us. Dress us, Lord. Lord, I apply the blood of Jesus on this seed, and I rebuke the power of darkness and the devourer to try and steal the seed. Lord, I ask in the mighty name of Jesus that You'll bring revelation to each and every one in this room of who they are and the inheritance. And as You begin to show them what they need to sever, which is unrighteousness in lives, things that cause us to stumble, Lord, give us the power to say no to them and sever them. And renounce them in our lives. That we can stop the lineages of ungodliness, but only receive the lineage of godliness for Your glory. And Lord, I bless Your people tonight. And ask that You continue to visit them in dreams and visions. Establish their temples to be a place of habitation for You. And kick over the tables, Lord, as You went into the temple and kicked over the tables. Kick over the tables in each and every one of us. And expose us to ourselves, that we may clean up and keep upright with You and bring glory to Your name in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.